Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Gianna Rayburn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Hey there, bestie. I'm Lori Ami, your What to Read Next podcast host. Join me as we dive into exciting new reads that'll have you reaching for your TBR pile in no time. From gripping mysteries to spicy romances, we'll explore it all and help you find your next favorite book. So grab a cup of tea, cozy it up, and let's discover some amazing reads together.
Hi, Rachel. Welcome to What to Read Next podcast.
Hi, Laura. Thanks for having me. I'm really excited to be here with you today.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little bit about yourself.
I'm Rachel Kohler Craw. I am a novelist. I've written the books Stone Cold Fox and the forthcoming We Love the Nightlife. I'm also a WGA Award nominated screenwriter and live in Los Angeles with my husband and my rescue pit bull, Juniper.
Yeah, I love this. So how did you get started writing? Like, what was your journey? And also writing, you know, in Hollywood, LA is different from writing novels too. So what's the transition? What's it like for you?
Yeah, well, we have a lot of ground to cover. Let's see. I mean, I've been writing since I was a little girl. I think most writers start quite young, but I wasn't sure if it could be my job one day. I don't know. You know, I had parents that believed in me and things like that, but I come from kind of a blue collar neighborhood on the northwest side of Chicago, and I just didn't see anyone doing those things. But I've come to learn I'm very galvanized when I go through breakup.
Yeah.
I actually moved to Los Angeles after I went through a bad breakup with my British ex-boyfriend because I was going to move to England to be with him. And I said, F this, I'm moving to California. So I packed up a little Honda and moved out here. And I did get a writing job. I got a job at a celebrity gossip blog that was very popular at the time. And I remember thinking, I've made it. I'm a Hollywood writer. But it was a terrible job. I had to write like nasty things about people all day. That was not what my revered English degree was for. And I hated it so much that I actually moved back to Chicago after a couple of years. But it ended up being a really good detour. So I got into, and my writer dreams were temporarily dashed, but I'm like, oh, I guess I got to get a real job. And I got into sales, which I was really good at. I really liked. And it turns out that was a really cool detour as a screenwriter because I feel like nobody tells screenwriters that 80% of this job is selling yourself in a room and talking about your project and being able to, you know, hype yourself and your work up. So anyway, in 2013, one of the companies I worked with in Chicago moved me to LA to open the market. A quick sidebar, I was selling luxury floral arrangements to hotels and residential buildings and places that spend a lot of money on flowers every year. It was honestly a really fun job. Anyway, got involved with a screenwriter. And when we broke up, I said, God, if that jerk can do it, I certainly can. So I totally pivoted. And I got like a day job where I could like, you know, make a living, but I didn't have to like turn my brain on that much. And actually was doing casting for the show Naked and Afraid.
So do you just need to make it before I leave LA?
That's everyone's question. No, but you kind of had to visualize it because the network always wanted like good looking people, which is funny because it is like, preppers in general are not that focused on their looks.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, you have to find like people that know how to survive. Anyway, this is a tangent, but you can leave it in if you want. Anyway, I'm doing that during the day. I'm working on my scripts, and I had entered one of my scripts into the Nickel Fellowship, which is associated with the Academy Awards. It's like, if you're going to enter screenwriting contest, that's the one you're supposed to enter. And long story short, a weird thing happened where my script went viral because I received a sexist comment and I stuck up for myself. And it was one of those things that everyone wanted to read it. And I ended up selling it to Sony. And from there, like I kept working very steadily as a screenwriter, which was super exciting. And so I enjoyed it. I really liked it. I still really like it. But a lot of times you as a screenwriter are brought in to give your take on someone else's very lovely book. And, you know, it's hard to sell something original. It can be done. It's just in the current market, or since I've been a screenwriter since 2015, it's just challenging. So I was sort of lamenting this to one of my previous managers, and he said something kind of sassy, like, wow, if you want all this creative control, you're going to have to write a book yourself. And I said, that's exactly what I'm going to do. And then I fired him. Oh, but then I started writing Stone Cold Box in my off time. So like, whenever I had free time, I was working on it. And it was really, really fun, because writing scripts is fun too, but you really have to keep it snappy. You can't really linger on too many details. It's just a different type of, you're writing for something to be watched. You're not, I mean, no one's going to read this aside from people that might want to make it. It's not for consumer use, I guess, is the best way to put it. Whereas like with a novel, I was like, oh, I get to write about what she's wearing, what the room looks like that they're in. I'm like, really get to be like the director of the book, which I really, really enjoy. And Bee's voice just came, so what this says about me, but her voice came so naturally to make it, like, it was really fun to make a person who just goes after what she wants with no apology. And then when I wrote and I had a solid draft that I worked on with my agent, we went out with it and it went to auction, and it was very exciting, and I got a 2-book deal. So after Stone Cold Fox, even before it came out, you know, you start working on your second book, and it's not as leisurely as your first visitor on deadline. Then I come up with this crazy idea where I'm writing about vampires. There's a supernatural element. There's two competing voices. It's in a foreign country, and the timeline spans roughly 50 years, but we also dabble in Victorian times. So it was a really ambitious big thing, and it was really hard to write, but I love how it turned out. I'm really, really excited for people to read We Love the Nightlife. Because I think even if you are like, why the hell is the author a vampire novel? I think once you read both of them, you get it. Because it is a story about a female friendship that goes completely off the rails. They just happen to be vampires.
First of all, I'm all about vampires. I feel like members should have the renaissance back to it. I'm like, I'm loving. I know we had a witch renaissance lately, but I feel like vampires need to just come back. Like, we need these old ass people in our generation.
Yeah. Vampires are my favorite sea creature, because they're like perfect. I always call my brand like bitches and glamour. And I feel like vampires perfectly suit my brand, because they're always silly hot, like just outrageously hot. They always have a lot of money because around for a long time, and they're always out having fun. It's like vampires of all the spooky creatures, and I love them all for different reasons, but vampires are the ones that I keep closest to.
Yes, I am here for it. And so you got to go to London in some ways. You know, you were supposed to live in London, and then you just got to revisit a new magical world.
I know, it's really funny, because I've always been very connected to England. I don't know why. I don't have English heritage. My dad is Irish, but that's obviously not the same. But I did my year abroad in England, and I was going to move back to be with my boyfriend. And then we broke up, and I hadn't been in a very long time. And then I went on my first date with my now husband. You know, you give like the bullet points of your life. And I mentioned where I went to school in England, which is a smaller school about 2 hours north of London called the University of East Anglia. And he goes, my dad went there. I'm like, oh, he did it. Like that you're thinking, but he did. And it was just like kind of a funny. So my husband is half English. He has a citizenship. And as luck would have it, in 2022, my husband was shooting a project. He's a producer in Istanbul. And to alleviate the time difference, his company put us up in London for a few months. And that was incredible. So as I was conceiving this idea, because I was initially going to set it in New York or LA.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, oh no, I'm going to like set it right here. And we've since been able to go back many times. We eventually want to split our time in London and LA, because it is my favorite city in the world. And every place I mentioned and We Love the Nightlife, I've been to or spent time there. So I made sure, I mean, all the research is legit.
Oh my gosh, I love this. Yeah, I love London. I think it's like, It's one of my favorite cities. You know, it's just, it's like New York, but sophisticated and all money.
Yeah. And I just love how old everything is. And that actually, I think, made the book so much better because you really lean into some of that old vampire lore. And like, the laurels just wouldn't hit in the same way in Alabama.
No, because essentially you don't have to move them. They have to have moved from Europe or like other countries that are older than us. Like,
it probably would have turned into a totally different book. Yeah. And I love that, like, because it's, this book has a lot of really specific funny things that I enjoy. So obviously London disco vampires, but then I snuck in like Victorian era orphan vibes because I love like the sweet garden and look.
Yeah,
I even mentioned like I love Pitbull, the singer. Yeah. I mentioned him at one, but I just put in like everything I like about nightlife and partying and having fun. I was like, I'm putting it in this book.
Yes, I love the fact that you're like, you have fun, and honestly, it shows in the books. Like, you have fun writing them, and sometimes, like, you know, there's something to be said when the author is having fun. And it's just like showing the best parts of their favorite things. It's like, okay, I'm enjoying this ride, just like I wrote during the Stone Cold Fox, and I really wanted to be friends with B. Like,
I love hearing that. Listen, some people don't like her, and that's fine. I knew. Yeah,
I just want to be friends with her. Like, she's like my kind of people.
The way I just it's like, if someone likes B, I'm gonna like them.
Yeah.
It's for me, it's like personally a good barometer of friendship.
Yeah, like I don't know. She reminds me, I live in New York for 14 years, and she reminded me of that New York vibe. Like that, like there's a different level of, you know, of ambition, and there's a different level of cutting through the old money and cutting through the old ties from boarding school and from all these places, and like being like, I'm scrappy, I'm just gonna figure this shit out, and I'm gonna get as far this as possible. And no holds bar. Like, yeah, that's so.
I'm glad you used the word scrappy, because that's truly like, I think all my characters are scrappy. Like, it's just they're scrappers. They go for it. And sometimes they do bad things, but they're getting what they want.
Yeah. Yes, I am here for it. So I'm so excited for We Love the Nightlife. Everyone should pre-order it or just buy it. It's gonna be a wild ride, and obviously we love vampires, so vampires are a good thing to combat. So
hot and scary, the best combination.
Yeah, they just love nightlife.
Yeah, have a good time. Get on board.
Yes. All right. So let's chat some book recommendations. What kind of books do you tend to read?
I read pretty widely. I do keep current with the thriller genre because that's the sandbox I'm playing in, and I enjoy them. So I'm always, and I love the thriller girly community. Like, I don't know if you saw on my Instagram, I got so many juicy, great blurbs from my friends that I've met at Thriller Fest. And
yeah,
there's a book out today I'm really excited to read. I just got it in the mail. Liv Constantine's sequel, The Next Miss Parrish.
So good.
Really, like, good. I have work to do today, but I'm like, oh, I just want to sit down and read that book. So definitely read a lot of thrillers. I'm really excited for Robin Harding's next thriller, The Haters. Yeah. I love The Drowning Woman, and I also just love her. She's very, very cool. I'm excited for Mae Cobb's new one, Hollywood Assistant. And Rachel Harrison has a vampire book coming out called So Thirsty, and her book comes out, I think, the month after mine, September. So I'm excited to read hers too. And on that note, like, I do read a fair amount of horror. I really like to be scared. I watch a lot of scary movies too, just sort of, I don't know, I'm Scorpio, we're sickos, we like. But I read a lot of literary fiction too, and I love when it's funny. Like, I feel like the Irish-British girls are really hitting it in specific ways, like The Rachel Incident by Caroline O'Donoghue. I love the book. Good Material by Dolly Alderton. Really Good, actually, by Monica Heidi. I don't know, there's just, I feel very connected to that place. There's like a sense of humor or something that I really connect to. What else for me? I'm in a book club that I started in LA 10 years ago. We just celebrated our 10-year, I guess 6 months ago, we celebrated our 10-year, which is really cool.
That's really amazing.
Yeah. And it's really fun because we all don't have the exact same taste. And it's kind of cool because I'm often reading things maybe I wouldn't necessarily pick up myself. But it's a good way to keep us all reading you know, across different genres. And then it's kind of cute too, because usually when there's like a creepy book, everyone's like, oh, we know this is a Rachel pick. Like historical fiction pick, or like where there's like a woman at the center. It's usually my friend Maria's pick. You know what I mean? There's just like,
yeah,
like you have your identity within the club. And I really like that. So right now we're reading, I haven't started yet, but The Frozen River by Ariel Wan. I might be butchering her last name, but it sounds great. And then I like to read memoirs too. I just started The Sociopath memoir by Patrick. I don't know how to say your last name.
Gagne. I know what you're trying to talk about, and that's on my queue. I have to.
Yeah, I literally just started it last night, yeah. And it's very, very good. I wish I was an audiobook person, because everyone says the audiobook is very... Do you listen to audiobooks?
I do. So I listen to audiobooks. I'm in my audiobook era, so I got to listen to... Like, memoirs are great because they're just like, you'll hear the story. I find the audiobooks are great for story time. Like, if you want to... Nighttime stories walk, get you to sleep and stuff like that. It helps with anxiety just to get immersed. But I actually listen to your book. I really love, like, Don't Call Fox.
So good.
It's even better in audio. It's so immersive.
It's very nice. So they send the author, you know, several samples you kind of get to pick. And there was one narrator that it's very popular and everyone really likes her, but she wasn't sultry enough. And I just, Carlotta is so sultry and it has like a grit in it. And I was like, no, then I just selected the narrators. We're having two narrators, one for Nicola and one for Amber, and that was really fun too. But yeah, I wish I was an audiobook person, because I feel like it's like a really efficient way to do it. But I find I'm not how I receive information.
It takes practice. I would say, like, I thought it the same way. I was like a voracious reader, and then somehow I think I found, you had to find your group, but it's rereading other books, reading books that are like, you know, finding your speed limit also, because it can be frustrating when it's so slow. But if you process information faster, then you want to speed it up, but not can you speed it up, because then you just miss things. And then there's also, it's okay to miss stuff. Like, it's okay. Like, you don't need to know every single detail. It's like, you get to high levels of the story and you get to be
confident when I'm reading. I can be, and not every book. But sometimes
Celebrity memoirs are a really good place to start.
Because you hear their voice. I've listened to Anthony Bourdain's and I really like.
Jessica Simpson is, I think it's like a good starter point.
I read her book. Oh my God. It is one of my favorite celebrity memoirs of all time.
Listen to her book.
All the names. I hate when a celebrity writes a memoir and they don't tell you shit. And I'm like, I'm reading this for, give us the goss. And I just feel like Jessica's like, on there suck. Nick.
Yes.
I'm called the total hottie, which I agree on my list. Yeah. Like, I just like ate that up.
So Jessica says it's a good place to reread. Britney Spears is another one. Michelle Williams does a really good job. Right. And that's the whole narration about when Justin sees Genuine. It's hard.
I heard that clip online.
You're like, holy crap, she went there. So those are like celebrity memoirs that are a good starter. And then just like find your way. Like, you know, libraries are a great place to borrow them. Don't get yourself an Audible membership. Don't buy the audiobook. You know, go for the library first.
A little. I'll start practicing and we'll see.
Yeah. I have a question. How did you get started with your book club? Like, how did you put people together? Like,
I have really hot tips about this. So I started my first book club in Chicago.
Yeah.
And how we did it was partially inspired by my mom's. When I was younger, my mom used to have a Bunko club. You know, that dice game?
Yeah.
It's not really in fashion anymore, but like once a month they would switch houses. And she goes, you know, when people are doing these gatherings, there's always like pressure, like don't do potluck. Whoever's hosting does all the food and everyone else brings a bottle of wine. And that's that. And that's like been a really, like, as far as like the logistics of hosting, really helpful. Cause it's like you host once or twice a year, depending how many people are in the club at the time. And you know, you can just order pizza. No one will judge. Or we have some people in our club that are like,
they like go through the book with a fine-tooth comb,
find every single recipe, like they create like a whole mood. And we do book club awards every year, and one of our categories is best host, so there's always like fierce competition for that award. But how we started it, and how I started in Chicago as well, I asked two of my friends to invite two more of their friends that I didn't know, and that's kind of how it started. And, you know, sometimes people dip in and out, but generally, I mean, again, the one in LA we've had for 10 years.
Yeah.
And I think six of us or so have been in since year one, but even like year two, year three, like people have really hung on. I think we have 9 members right now. And sometimes people take like a sabbatical. Like one of our dear members is getting her a dance degree and she had to move to Philadelphia for a year. And so she's still reading the books and keeping up. But like when she moved back to LA, she just comes back in. So we're very flexible that way. But so when I moved to LA, I asked 2 of my friends to invite 2 more of their friends. And we kind of went from there because it's a really fun way to make new friends and meet people. And if something doesn't stick, they don't stick. I mean, people are welcome to leave or whatever. You're not, you know, you want people that are going to commit. And then this is how we kind of run the show. So if you're hosting, you make the food, everyone else brings a bottle of wine. We socialize for, I don't know, 30 minutes at the top. And then we sit down, we do letter grade. My I'm the president. My vice president, Claire, takes records of all the grades. We have the grades of like every book we've ever read. She has like a serious record of everything. It's so cool because we did a lot of fun stuff for our 10 year where we like did book of the decade and looked back at all these things. It's fun to have that data point. And then the host will lead the discussion. And then after that sort of organically wraps up, the host, as a reward for hosting, gets to pick the next book. And then we go down the list of hosting. So it's like, you have to have, I think those, not that they're like harsh rules, but like having a set order of things keeps the club sustainable. Because it can vary, and we've had like, holiday book club, and everyone's like had way too much wine and we hardly spoke about the book. But generally, we're there to talk about the book, so.
I love this. I actually, you just sparked some ideas. I've been in a new city for about 3 years. I'm actually moving and like to a better place. And I started to make friends and I was like, oh, like this is a fabulous idea to make local friends too. Cause I found readers and maybe just start a book club, like, you know, this way it's organic, but at the same time connect with friends who have similar interests. And so tips are so helpful.
Yeah,
so
if your friend's a friend, you're probably going to like
them. Yeah.
So invite 2 people, I don't know, that like to read. Yeah. The other thing, I was like, please invite people that actually read. Like, this isn't a secret wine club. We enjoy wine, but we do. Like, people can come if they don't read the book, but it is frowned upon.
Yeah. Yes. Oh, thank you. You're like, you need to have a better grade. And it's not enough for did not read.
I've done it too. Where like, sometimes there's just a book where I'm like, I can't read. And so I'm like a sad incomplete. But I do like when everyone's read the book. I mean, it's fun when we all love a book, of course. But I really like when we get a book where it's like kind of split down the middle because the conversations were so much juicier, which is really cool.
These are great recommendations. So, Rachel, thank you so much. So tell us where you can find you online.
I have a website, rachelkohlercroft.com. And I have an Instagram I'm very active on, which is Rach Kohlercroft. And I would like to be more active. I haven't done it yet, but my handle is the same there too. So you can watch my empty page until I get the courage. Oh my God.
You know, it's just like you show up when you show up. And so who knows? TikTok might be banned. Who knows?
Like, I know. Funny though, like, you know, because I'm so comfortable on Instagram, I know exactly how to work everything, and so I don't know, but I feel like I could figure it out, so it's on my list.
It is all good. So Rachel, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining me on this episode of the What to Read Next podcast. If you enjoy our bookish conversations and want more recommendations, don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Also, head on over to the What to Read Next blog for a list of books mentioned in today's show. Happy reading! Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyournextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.